Hear the word of the Lord from the book of the prophet Habakkuk, chapter 1. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and you will not hear? Even cry out to you, violence, and you will not save? Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention arises. Therefore, the law is powerless, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, therefore perverse judgment proceeds. This is the word of the Lord. Chances are you haven't heard many sermons on the book of the prophet Habakkuk. His book lies rather obscurely, I would say, among the minor prophets. Maybe you recall those days when you were given the assignment to memorize the books of the Bible. The minor prophets at the end of the Old Testament were always the most difficult, weren't they? Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum. And then maybe you struggled to pronounce this unusual name. Should we say Habakkuk, or Habakkuk, or Habakkuk? And if we think that his name is curious and out of the ordinary, that was apparently the case also in the prophet's own time and throughout the entire biblical period as well. He's the only one in the Bible who bears this unusual name, Habakkuk, in the Hebrew language. Its meaning seems to have something to do with embracing or taking something in one's arms. What the significance of that might be is not entirely clear. Nevertheless, this short 3-chapter book has a powerful message. The prophet struggled with a theological problem which has puzzled people, I suppose, ever since the fall into sin. How is it possible for the following 3 statements to be true at the same time? Number 1, God is good, loving, and just in all things. Number 2, God is omnipotent. He holds and exercises all the power in the universe. And number 3, evil exists. Doesn't simple logic compel us to say that only 2 of these things can be true at the same time? If God is good and omnipotent, then how can evil exist? Doesn't the great fact of the existence of evil compel us to say either that God is not good and loving, or that he does not, in fact, have all power? There's a best-selling book on the market today, a commentary on the book of Job by a prominent theologian, a man who is frequently interviewed on talk radio and television and who enjoys great respect among many people in the world of religion and theology. After contemplating his own struggles with various forms of evil, sickness and death among his loved ones and other tragedies in his life, he found himself unwilling to give up the idea of a good and loving God, but he felt compelled to conclude that God must not, in fact, hold all power. The existence of so much evil in the world drove him to that conclusion. The prophet Habakkuk looked at the world in which he lived. This was near the end of the 7th century, or the 600s BC, and as you heard in our reading for today, he expressed shock and dismay at what he saw going on around him in the world. The kingdom of Judah was just barely hanging on to existence, a pathetic remnant of what it had once been under the glorious days of David and Solomon. The superpowers of the day, Assyria and Babylonia, were involved in a huge struggle for domination of the ancient world, a struggle that brought unspeakable suffering on many people and nations. And the last able and godly king of Judah, King Josiah, had attempted to get involved in international affairs and was killed in battle. The bewildered prophet looked at this situation and cried out to the God of his fathers with two questions that arise so frequently in the face of evil. He says, "Why do you cause me to see so much trouble, evil, violence, and strife? Why, God?" And the second question, "How long will this go on?" The prophet wonders out loud, does God even hear? It seems that he doesn't act to save and deliver his people. And then the prophet draws a conclusion. He says, "Therefore, on the basis of what he has seen and experienced," he says, "the law is powerless." In other words, to him it appeared that the word of God was of no effect. It's become paralyzed. And another shocking conclusion, he says, "Justice never goes forth. The word of God exercises no power and there's no justice to be found." Why this conclusion? Because it appears that the wicked surround the righteous and justice is perverted. What was the prophet seeing and experiencing? Well, he was experiencing life in a fallen world, a world which has negated the two great commandments of God. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. In a world which has negated those commandments, could it really be any different from what the prophet saw? A century before Habakkuk came along, the prophet Isaiah described the situation of fallen humanity in words like these. He said, "No one calls for justice, nor does any plead for the truth. Their feet run to evil. They make haste to shed innocent blood. The way of peace they have not known, and there is no justice in their ways. They have made themselves crooked paths. Therefore, justice is far from us. We look for light, but there is darkness; for brightness, but we walk in blackness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as at twilight. We look for justice, but there is none; for salvation, but it is far from us." There's evil in the world. Now, the chaplain just assigned me to preach on those first verses from Habakkuk. So is this where we say amen and sit down? No. The very purpose of the prophet Habakkuk is to show us how to keep from despairing in the face of depressing circumstances in a fallen world. The message of his book is that God works through evil circumstances for the good of his people. Our Lord taught us to pray that his kingdom would come and that there be deliverance from evil, and so it shall be, because he is a good, loving, and just God who works with power for our redemption. He provided that redemption in the person and work of his Son in human flesh, and by his life, death, and resurrection, he has destroyed the kingdom of the devil and all evil, and now he imparts to us his victory in the gospel. But we don't perceive that victory with our senses here and now in a fallen world. Therefore, we take to heart the most famous words of the prophet Habakkuk: "The just will live by faith. The kingdom of God and deliverance from evil will not fail to come." But right now, this must be believed. We walk by faith, not by sight. And what we believe now will become a blessed reality in the resurrection to life. Amen.